Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 20. John Nemo. As an author, speaker, one-on-one business coach and consultant, John Nemo helps individuals, organizations, and businesses boost their brand, generate sales leads, and increase revenue. John is also the author of 7 books, including LinkedIn Reaches, How to Use LinkedIn for Sales and Marketing. John is married to the most amazing woman on the planet, Sarah, and together they are raising 3 wild boys in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. John Nemo, I was waiting for this interview so long. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Hayut. I'm excited to be here. It's great to be talking live across the world. I just think this is what's so cool about the era we live in, the ability to connect and engage with people all over the planet. So I'm honored to be on. Thanks for having me.
That's great. I just shared with our audience what you've done until now, and I would like you to share with us what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Yeah, thank you for that. What I'm really most passionate about right now, kind of the story where I'm headed today starts a while back in the 1970s. Both my parents were teachers growing up, and I talk about this in some of my trainings, but the ability now to teach others. So if you're a consultant, a coach, an entrepreneur, a business owner, you know, teaching today really sells. And so where my focus is in creating different online courses, just having, you know, eventually going to have a whole suite of courses out there, teaching entrepreneurs and small business owners and coaches and consultants how to really grow their business, how to, you know, do digital marketing, whether it's using LinkedIn, whether it's using webinars, copywriting, email marketing. That's my passion. Just growing up as the son of 2 English teachers, you know, seeing, being a fan of storytelling and really understanding the opportunity we have now for everybody listening to is the classroom is now global. For my parents, it used to be one university in a, you know, in the Midwest in the United States, a classroom of 20 kids or 30 people. Now it's global, right? You're in Israel. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the United States. We're talking, we're connecting, we're sharing information, we're sharing ideas. There's 1 billion hours of video consumed every day on YouTube. So the opportunities are really limitless for you and for me when it comes to teaching and creating courses. And the reason I'm passionate about creating online courses that people can buy and consume on demand and learn on demand is A, they can do it on their schedule with a global audience. It's hard to match up live training with someone in Israel or Australia. But more importantly, it frees up time. So for me, you know, I have a wife and 3 young boys here and a wild dog, Rosie, that if anyone knows my trainings and my content, Rosie makes many appearances because I'm a huge dog person. But I want to spend as much time as possible with them. And what's really neat about the world we live in today is you can automate and, you know, put on demand so much of your business without sacrificing the quality of customer service and one-on-one interaction with your customers and things like that. But that's really where I'm headed. That's what I'm passionate about is finding a business that's built around the life that I want. So I'm not flying all over the world giving talks. I'm not traveling. I'm not away from home. I'm not on the phone all day. But rather, I'm able to be with my kids and my wife, work from home, but yet have an impact, have an influence with teaching and training others through online courses.
This is incredible. I must tell the audience that actually I first heard about you when I took a webinar that you've done, and then I just took your first course or one of them. So it is great. Where are you heading? What are you planning ahead?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, so I've got a few tricks up my sleeve here. So kind of the course that Hyut referenced is called LinkedIn Riches, and that's a training on how to use LinkedIn for sales and marketing. I just launched a new course called Webinars That Work, and that's all about how to use webinars, similar to how you found me, right? On-demand, sure. Automated webinars to reach a global audience, to sell your product or service. And when I say service, that includes coaches and consultants. You know, I'll talk about that in a little bit, the opportunities there with webinars. But after that, next is going to be probably another book. I've written 7 books, so I'm going to do another book. I'm going to really get into probably email marketing, all forms of digital marketing. I also want to talk a lot about mindset and motivation. I think that's really a key for a lot of the audience that I interact with, which is, again, entrepreneurs, small business owners, coaches, consultants. A lot of us work in isolation. You know, it's great working from home or not being at an office or at a corporate setting, but you can struggle. You can struggle with your mindset, with your motivation, with believing in yourself, with self-doubt, with comparing yourself to somebody else's Facebook profile, right? They seem like they're a millionaire. They just sit on the beach and push a button and make millions. Why are my Facebook ads not doing that? You know, like, so there's so much going on. And really kind of my desire moving forward is where I have had the most impact, where I've seen the greatest reward in my business is really being authentic and being transparent with people and just saying, I'm a human being too. You know, I struggle with depression and I've had to overcome some childhood stuff. And when I talk about that in the context of how it impacts my business and my mindset and self-doubt and fear and how to overcome that and tools that I use, and I'm amazed at the amount of people that then write me back and say, me too. And I look at it and I go, well, I thought you had it all together, right? Like your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook profile, I would have never known. And where that comes in an interesting way in business is the more authentic we are, the more real we are with people, especially in today's world, the more people trust us, the more they like us, the more they know us. And so on the back end of that, it becomes easier, ironically enough, to sell my products and services to people when I share some of my struggles and weakness, you know, because they look at it and go, well, John's a real guy. Like he's not pretending he's on a yacht and instantly made millions of dollars and never had struggles. Like, you know, we all do. Let's just be real and let's help each other. And that for me is what drives me is knowing that there are people out there that I can connect and engage with and we can help each other. And I just like marketing that way. I love the freedom that we have as an entrepreneur, a small business owner, a coach, a consultant, where I no longer have a company I have to worry about, you know, censoring my views or my passions. You know, I get to share what I'm passionate about. I get to share my real personality. I don't need a boss to approve me sharing my personality online. You know, like that's bad for the brand. You know, like that's the biggest piece of advice too I want listeners to get right now in the marketplace. Whatever you do, your biggest advantage in the marketplace is you. Your biggest advantage in winning new clients, winning new customers, when you're doing marketing online with Facebook, with LinkedIn, with webinars, with podcasts, with books, any kind of content you create is you, your unique personality, your unique story, your unique journey. Remember, we all want to attach a narrative to someone, Hyut. Like, I want to know your story. How did you get to where you are? What are you doing in the middle of Israel, you know, doing online courses? Like, where did you come from, right? And once you tell me your story, your narrative of, well, I grew up here and I, you know, my parents did this and my career led me here, but I wasn't happy. So I switched. And then I found this crazy guy doing a webinar on LinkedIn and that motivated me to go, you know, find another guy about podcasting. And that motivated me to do a podcast that now has had all this success. And now that's motivated me to create an online course. And now I've got people in Japan and Europe and Ukraine and listening and connecting. And like when we get your story, when I have a story to attach to Hyut, that makes you unique. That makes you valuable. That makes you memorable. That's the big mistake I see people making with online marketing right now is they're not playing to their number one strength, which is their personality, their humanity, their style of communication. They're trying to be somebody else. Yeah, like just be you.
You talk a lot about some kind of your customers, and I really want to ask you, who are your customers today? And the story about how did you figure out
Yeah.
Who are your most potential customers or consumers?
This is a great question. And this is one thing I've had to learn a lot about running my own business. So, you know, my narrative very quickly, and this will lead into who my customers are, but I started out as a journalist. I worked for the Associated Press, and then I worked in public relations, and then I worked in social media, and I was always working for companies. And I ended up getting myself into trouble because of office politics and red tape and corporate rules. Like you can tell I just want to go 100 miles an hour. Like I don't like to sit still and play games. And so eventually in 2012, I went out on my own, and I didn't know anything about, you know, niche marketing and audiences and what to do. And the best advice I got in the beginning when I went on my own was, you know, my brother-in-law, who runs a very successful company here in the US, he said, the riches are in the niches. Like, you've got to identify, be a big fish in a small pond. Identify an audience that you can serve that is going to relate to you and like you, and then go serve them. And so my audience has changed quite a bit. So when I started in 2012, I wanted to open a marketing agency and do marketing services and, you know, create marketing videos and public relations, press releases and social media campaigns. And so rather than trying to be everything to everyone, what I did was I identified one small audience, which was debt collection agencies. And most people go,
right.
Why would you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Forgot like, this story. It's a wonderful one.
Yeah. And so the reason was I had worked for a trade association doing public relations, serving that industry. And so I had spent 2 or 3 years working in that industry, seeing what the challenges were to those folks. And so one lesson everyone listening can take away is, where have you walked? Where have you worked? Because as an audience, the number one thing they're going to want to know when you go to them to sell your product or service is, do you get me? Do you get my industry? Do you understand the unique challenges and regulations and rules and the style of how we serve customers? Because, you know, that's the big thing. People want to know that you get it. And so the number one thing I teach people inside LinkedIn Riches is, if you're starting out as a coach, a consultant, a whatever it is, a service, a product, like, start with an audience in an industry that you've worked in, because you immediately get what I call street cred, right? Or credibility, like, oh, you get it because you worked in the debt collection industry. So when I started, right, it was very simple to identify. Yes, I could sell marketing services to anyone and do it well, but when I only focused on selling it to debt collectors, I branded and marketed my agency as debt collection marketing services, debt collection PR services, debt collection social media consulting. And they loved it, right? They loved it because it was like, oh, you're all about us. You're only focused on us. You've worked in the industry. And then where LinkedIn comes in is, I had one client when I quit my day job in 2012, right? I had one debt collector, you know, had enough money for 30 days, and I had to find a bunch of clients, and I didn't know where to start. I didn't have a budget. I didn't have investors. It was me sitting in a bedroom in my home with a folding card table and a laptop. And I got on LinkedIn, and there's 500 million people on LinkedIn, and it's basically the world's largest search engine for professionals. So I literally typed in the phrase debt collector into LinkedIn, immediately had thousands of debt collectors where I could find the decision makers at these agencies. I could find the CEO, the owner who would spend money on marketing services. I could immediately connect, engage, build a one-on-one relationship with them, right? Make some small talk, almost like virtual coffee meetings, you know, virtual just get to know you type meetings. Then I could market to them with content, with tips, with ideas. And within my first 90 days doing this, right, I generated 6 figures in revenue from that audience being niche focused. And so, you know, that's evolved now where I've gotten out of doing the done for you marketing services, where today, again, with the shift in focus to just doing online courses, what I've done is, you know, as I've grown out LinkedIn Riches and Webinars That Work, the new course, I've constantly am trying to find out who's buying my stuff. So one of the things in my, you know, email autoresponder when you purchase LinkedIn Riches is I have an email that says, how did you find Nemo, right? And I'm playing off the movie Finding Nemo, of course, and my last name. But I just write a quick email that says, how did you find Nemo? And what do you, tell me what you do and who you are. And so that does a couple of things. People will say, oh, I found you because someone in my work group shared a link to your webinar and I work here. Or, you know, I read about you on Inc. magazine, or I heard your podcast, or you were mentioned on Hayut's podcast, and that's how I heard about you. Oh, okay. That was my lead source. And then what I do is I survey my audience and I look at my list of buyers and I break down all the data. And I looked, you know, for example, with LinkedIn Riches, the program that you're part of, 40% of the people that bought that, just coming in through a general webinar, general marketing, 40% of the people were business coaches and consultants. So I knew, yeah, I knew by just surveying and studying my audience, because what you can do is, even if you don't know who someone is, if you have their name and email, look them up online, look them up on LinkedIn. You can immediately see what type of work they do. So it took time, but I think that's critical to know your audience. And so now I took that 40% of my buyers and started rewriting and reframing again my marketing for my future products to appeal to coaches and consultants. And I run what I call a one-question survey. And this is a great tip for anyone to really understand what your audience wants. So I go to my email list, I go to my buyers, and I'll say, you know, here's the one-question survey. I say, what do you want to know more about blank? What do you want to know more about using LinkedIn for sales? What do you want to know more about webinars? What do you want to know more about sales? What do you want to know more about IT consulting? You know, whatever it is. And then you let them write an answer, an open-ended answer. And what I've picked up from that, Hayut, is language patterns, phrases they use for my copywriting. So I know what buzzwords to use. I know how they refer to themselves and their needs. I pick up the pain points. I pick up the struggles. So, for example, the number one concern of my audience of business coaches and consultants is getting leads. The number two concern is building my client base. Number three is, you know, increasing revenue. Number four is making an impact on other people as a coach, you know, impacting their life. So now when I go out and market my programs to that audience, I use those phrases. My new webinar says, for LinkedIn Riches now, says how business coaches and consultants, I put them in the title, can use LinkedIn too. And then the three benefits are generate leads, build your client base, and impact others. And it sells incredibly well because guess what? I'm talking to them in their own language and I'm promising them the benefits that they've told me they want. So you really want to dial into your audience and ask them in a sensible way, in a way that you can measure, what do you need help with? What are you looking for guidance on? And that will tell you what you should create for products and services and webinars and podcast episodes and blog posts and books. It's very simple. We need to ask what people want, and then we need to create it and give it to them.
That's wow. That's everything I wanted you to talk about.
All right, so. Well, it's great being on. See you later. No.
You're very successful, and I'm following you and looking at what you're doing. It's beautiful to see. However, I'm sure you had some struggles or business struggles yourself, and I want you to share with us, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most. Can you tell us about that?
I mean, I've always been pretty open about sharing my failures because I make them all the time. And before I share that, just a little lesson for everybody listening. If you want to be successful, and I'm giving myself this pep talk as much as the listeners, we have to embrace failure. Like, it is just inevitable if you run your own business. And fail big, risk big, fail huge, and learn. Like, the number one thing I've had to overcome as an entrepreneur and the mindset issue was taking failure personally, right? Somehow I'm a bad person because I made a mistake or marketed something wrong. Because again, I've got all my stuff with depression and childhood abuse and issues I'm overcoming with my personal side, and business bleeds into that, right? And so the number one shift that's improved my business is not taking failure personally, but taking it as a learning experience and just adjust. Don't give up, adjust, learn. You know, but the biggest failure early on that I think I made with LinkedIn in particular was, you know, how to market and sell to people. I was trying to marry everyone I met on the first date, right? I was trying to sell immediately. So as soon as I would connect with a debt collection agency CEO, you know, I would be saying, hey, can I have a 30-minute phone call to pitch you a new website, right? Or can I have a, you know, can I offer you a $5,000 video, you know? And what I learned very quickly was, whoa, like, we just met. Like, I don't even know you yet, John. And in my mind, I'm thinking, but I have all these services. I know how to help debt collectors. Of course, you're going to want to work with me. But I wasn't taking the time to warm up my prospects. I wasn't taking the time to get them to know, like, and trust me. And so what I really teach a lot of inside LinkedIn Rich is that online training, because so much of it is personalized one-on-one relationship and marketing on LinkedIn. And what's even changing more now, Hayut, and what I'm going to be updating the training with is we've got to ask permission. We've got to earn the right to ask. And so this was a painful lesson I had to learn early on was...
Can you tell us the story about the lesson?
Yeah.
Or one story that represents
perfect it? Example. So, you know, one debt collector, I used to do this on LinkedIn where I would send out a bunch of messages at once, right? And so I sent out one time to a bunch of people I had just connected to, basically a sales offer, right? A sales letter, a sales offer on LinkedIn. And I got a bunch of angry replies like, are you kidding? Like, spam, you know, don't annoy me. I didn't ask for this. I don't even know you. Why would I buy something from you? And that was a huge failure, right? And it was very embarrassing. And here's what I did to my credit. I wrote back each and every person and apologized and said, you know what? Thank you for calling me out. I'm learning. I'm going to learn from this. Like, thank you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're right. Absolutely. Like, I was acting, I think, at that time from a place of scarcity and fear. Like, I need sales. Sure. I need money. I'm just going to ask people for money. And if I just blast it out to 500 people on LinkedIn, hopefully three will buy. And I wasn't looking at them like human beings, you know, regular people.
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't marketing to them like I want to be marketed to, which is get to know me, get to like me, get to hear from me. What do I need? And so the lesson was the people that were angry and wrote back, I apologized to. You know, and they were shocked because most people just think, oh, you know, they're haters, they're trolls. But no, you can learn from them, right? So I wrote back and said, you're right. Thanks for calling me out. I'm sorry. That was not, you know, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to adjust. And so my LinkedIn strategy then pivoted to I've got to do more to earn the right to ask you for sales. So I started with the idea of, you know, what I started asking questions like, well, you know, with your website, are you happy with it? Are there things that you need to improve? Are there tips you're looking for? Yeah, I'm looking for how to convert people to clients on my website. So I went and created a blog post, how debt collectors can convert website visitors into buyers, right? And I wrote that as a free piece of content. Then I went back to those people on LinkedIn and said, hey, I created a free piece of content, no sales pitch, no spam here, just thought you might find this helpful. It's some free tips on how to improve your website to convert people to buy, right? And it was legitimate, helpful advice. And they loved it, right? And then they would consume that. And so that was a great failure early on that I made, right? And that so many people make. Another one I made. Oh, I'm going to keep going. I'll just give you my litany of mistakes.
The common question is about your success, some success stories. So you can prepare while telling us another failure story.
Yeah. And I'll give you one more and then how I've turned that into success. But one thing I see people do all the time, and I did it too in the beginning, is they get so tempted when they connect with someone on LinkedIn to automatically add that person to their email list, to their marketing list. So, for example, today I have 13,000 LinkedIn connections. I now get randomly added to marketing lists. I have real estate agents in Australia trying to sell me homes. Well, I live 9,000 miles away. Like, I'm not moving. I didn't ask for this, right? Like, I get people in Europe, you know, 5,000 miles away going, come to our conference, you know, this weekend at the coffee place. And I'm like, no, like what? But see, they're just automatically adding me. And I used to do that too. And again, I learned when people write back and go, this is spam. I didn't ask for this. You're interrupting me. I live in Africa. I'm not going to come to your coffee meetup in Minneapolis. Like, dude. So, you know, the success lessons are really learning how to adjust when you make mistakes, because you're going to, you know, and I think happy to share more success stories too, but I think it's important for people to realize you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. You can avoid some of that by listening to the people that have kind of walked ahead of you and done this dumb stuff like me, you know, and that's what I try to teach people, to learn from what I did so they can get it right the first time out.
That's exactly what I've been doing lately. I just started to share some of my posts with groups. And one of the group's owners or admin just sent me, it was polite, but it was like, read again the instructions and what you can and can't post. And I really apologized. I wrote back and said, I'm really sorry. And, you know, she was so touched about me being sorry. She said, no, just a friendly reminder. And I'm back on track again. I can post something that really fits their instructions. So this idea of apologizing, I think it's a very strong one. And now it's your time to tell us about one biggest, or perhaps share the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about approaching your customer.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think the big success that I've had, you know, in a 1-6, so webinars are really where I'm at now. That's really where I sell all my products and services, my, you know, coaching programs, consulting, whatever it is, especially my online courses. And I've spent the past 5 years really studying obsessively how to use webinars for marketing, right? How to really hone in on the idea of being able to reach anyone anywhere in the world, you know, with this type of presentation that results in a sale. And so, you know, in a recent 60-day period, I was able to do 50 sales of my LinkedIn Riches class for $1,500, right? So that's like $75,000 US in revenue. And I didn't spend a moment online. I was never there. And so that's the mountaintop. Like that is, you know, all the culmination, and that's what led to creating webinars that work to share that formula and that strategy as an online course itself. But what I really can share the lessons in that success story are continually adjusting and tweaking the webinar based on feedback. That's one of the number one things people don't do enough of is get feedback. So every time I have a webinar, I have an automated series of emails after the webinar, not pushing a sale right away. Because if they just went through a 60-minute webinar and didn't buy, I have found from trial and error, hammering them with more sales emails usually doesn't work very well, right? Like they didn't buy, they didn't buy. Like there's something going on. There's an objection. So what I ask for very simply after the webinar is I just say, quick question about today's webinar. Thank you so much for being on. Would love your honest feedback. What did you think of the presentation? What did you think of the offer? Not here to do a hard sale. Why didn't you buy? And people would write back honest opinions. Well, this happened in my life and I can't afford it, or I didn't feel like you delivered enough content to justify the price of the course during the free period. You know, so I would take all this feedback and I would adjust and adjust and adjust, and I would run those one question surveys. What do you want to know more about LinkedIn? And I would see the top results. And so I just kept tweaking this webinar to the point where now, right, I wake up and someone in Israel bought the course. I wake up and someone in Australia bought the course. I didn't have to be on, right? I've got it down now where you literally can have someone, you know, who hears me on this podcast, goes to my website, signs up for an automated webinar in their own time zone that works for them. They get an automated series of emails, warming them up, introducing them, getting them ready. They sit through a 60-minute presentation. And if you've never been through my webinars, they're not like a normal webinar. They're not like just text and slides and PowerPoint. Like I've got movie clips and stuff exploding and very entertaining, right? I'm teaching you and educating. And really, I call it infotainment. I want to give you the information, but I want to entertain you. Because people, to sit in front of a computer for an hour or on a phone for an hour and watch, we've got to entertain people. And so, you know, the success is in really telling people great stories, entertaining them, but, you know, bundling up using story as my delivery vehicle for the teaching. And then at the end, you know, the percentages are such that there's going to be a certain amount of people that will buy. And so for an automated webinar, for instance, when I did the 75,000 in sales, I only sold 5% of the people that showed up. But that didn't matter because I didn't spend any time having to sell, right? So I made that $75,000 with spending zero time online. And a 5% conversion rate for an automated webinar is fantastic. And that's the difference in today's world is if you're a coach or consultant right now and you're listening to this, you could put together a webinar where you tell your story and people get to know, like, and trust you and the journey you've been on. You can teach and train on two or three points that give them great insight and advice into, you know, how they could improve their lives with some of the tips you're giving. And then at the end, you can have a very simple call to action, which is, hey, would you like to do more? Would you like to work with me? Click on here to schedule a no obligation discovery call. And you can fill up your calendar with warm leads from an automated webinar where you spent no time doing anything, right? Like, you recorded it once, you have it out there, and there's different ways to get traffic and promote it. But the idea is, even for someone who just wants to get warm, pre-qualified leads, that's been a big success for me, is webinars pre-qualify people. If someone sits through 60 minutes with you online, they're very warmed up. They're very, very, sure, very excited. And I'm going to give you another thing too, another trend I'm seeing that I'm having a lot of success with. And that's what we're doing right now, Hayut, is audio. I'm amazed at the resurgence of podcasts and audiobooks that I'm seeing. I'll give you an example. So I have a best-selling book called LinkedIn Riches. You can get it for free if you want on my website, linkedinriches.com.
We will put this link in our show notes so everybody can really download it.
Yeah, linkedinriches.com. You can get the book for free. You can get the audiobook for free. Here's what's really, really funny. I still sell 50 to 60 audiobooks a month. People still go and buy it on Audible. I still sell 60 to 100 paperback books a month. People go on Amazon and buy it. Why? Because those platforms are now being used like Google. Someone goes on Amazon and types in LinkedIn tips, LinkedIn book. Mine shows up, they buy it. They would have never found me otherwise, right? They go on audible.com and they type in LinkedIn tips or LinkedIn marketing because they're curious about how to use LinkedIn. My book pops up, they buy it. I recorded that book in 2014. I haven't updated it. It sells 50 to 60 copies every single month without me doing anything. And more important than that, the people that come in and buy my $1,500 online course, LinkedIn Riches, are people that listened to the audiobook. And the reason is they feel like they know me already. They've heard my voice. They've heard my emotion. They've heard my passion. I'm literally in their head, right? Like in their earbuds or their headphones or in their car driving with them. I had a guy just buy it the other day who said, yeah, I had to move my daughter across the country here in the United States to go to university, to go to college. I was looking for an audiobook for business. I typed in LinkedIn because I wanted to know more about LinkedIn. I listened to your book three times, and then I saw that you had a course, so I just bought it. I'm like, I didn't have to do anything. You just came and gave me money, right? Like, but it's audio is where this is at, because I do it too. I listen to a podcast, and I'm like, I really like that person. I feel like I know them. You know, they were personal. They were open. I could hear their emotion. So that's a big area of success that anyone can use. You don't have to be on camera. You don't have to have makeup and lipstick. You don't have to look perfect. Just record yourself talking, right, into a USB microphone. I have a Blue Yeti microphone that I plug into my computer, and I record podcasts, and I record audiobooks, and I put them out on the different platforms, and people discover it, and people find it, and people engage with me and buy my products at a much higher level than they do when I only, you know, just publish written content on blogs. There's a difference in the quality of how someone comes into your world. And audio is at the very top, along with face-to-face, obviously, and video. But here's the last thing I'll say about audio, why I think it's more successful right now than video marketing. Audio is passive. What I mean by that is I can listen to a podcast while I'm walking the dog, while I'm folding laundry, while I'm driving.
While you're driving.
I can't watch a video without crashing off the road. And I think that's why it's brilliant of you, Hayut, to be doing a podcast, because we're hearing you. We're getting to know you, like you, trust you. Your personality's coming out. You just had a nice laugh. Oh, that we have all these emotional responses and go, I like her. I'm willing to listen to her. I want to hear what she has to say. Oh, she's got an offer, an opportunity. I want to know more. And it's just much easier to sell when people know you, like you, and trust you. And the fastest way to build that bond outside of meeting someone one-on-one, face-to-face, I think online is audio, even more than video, which is surprising. But I think because of the ability for people to consume audio passively, and then especially with podcasts, they can binge listen one episode after another, after another, after another on their phone, and they really can get hooked in. So those are definitely some areas I'm seeing a lot of success with.
Well, I know you have some because I actually use some of them, but I would like you to recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer-focused marketing or sales.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like this. Well, when it comes to LinkedIn, and you know this from being inside my LinkedIn training, one of my favorite tools to use is a third-party tool called LinMail Pro. Yeah, what it does is it automates your invitations and your messaging on LinkedIn. So for instance, if I want to go out and connect to 100 debt collectors today, who I want to market my services to, I can use LinkedIn like a big search engine. I can type in debt collectors living in Minneapolis, right? And then I can get a list, a ready-made list of leads of debt collectors living in Minneapolis, my city, and I can write one personalized invitation. Hi, John. Hi, Jane. Hi, Sally. I noticed you're a debt collector here in Minneapolis. Would love to get connected. Now, instead of me having to type that each time, 100 times, and copy and paste it and open new windows, LinMail Pro does it all automatically. It inserts their name, it uses my personal note, and I send off 100 invitations without me doing anything. Same with messaging, right? I can send people a targeted, personalized, one-on-one message with their name automatically. One other great tool I got to recommend, this has helped me close more sales than anything else. It's called Live Chat Inc. It's an app. It's a software app that you can use on your website. So, if it's a sales page, you can have it on there. If it's a consulting page or booking a consulting call or whatever it is, it's a little live chat app icon in the bottom right corner where your smiling name and face pops up and says, hey, thanks so much for visiting the page. Any questions? Happy to help. What it does is it connects Hyute across all my devices and all my computers so I can be out walking the dog. And when someone lands on the LinkedIn Riches sales page, this lady in her British voice says in my ear, new visitor. And then I'm like, what? And then I look at my phone and my app gives me an alert. Hey, there's someone in Israel on your sales page. And it will tell me the information of who the person is, what part of the world they're in, what type of device and browser they're using, what page they're on. So I can immediately talk to a hot prospect one-on-one via live chat. And I close so many sales this way. So I use an automated webinar, right? And a lot of people say, well, how do you really engage people at the end, you know, for a live Q&A? How do you replicate that? Very simply, at the end of my automated webinar, I say, now, if you've got questions, if you want to talk to me one-on-one, I would love to talk to you personally right now. Go to this page, you know, linkedinriches.com/boom or whatever it is. And then when they land there, it pops up with a chat box that says, hey, it's John, really, do you want to talk to me? And then anyone that lands at any time of day, if I'm awake and have a phone in my hand, I can talk to them and I can close them on a sale. Hey, I'm in Israel. I just watched your webinar. It was great. Is this really you? And then I chat back, yes, you know, oh, and I'm out walking the dog while I'm doing this, right, enjoying my life. And I can just talk into my phone. Yes, great question. This will work in Israel. Here's why. You know, blah, 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 blah. Or, oh, you do this type of work. Yes, I have examples of people who do that. I have case studies I can send you. You know, you just answer those few final objections people have. Or sometimes people just want to talk to you before they consummate the sale and hit, you know, buy. That's a great tool, Live Chat Inc., both for selling, also for customer service. You can have people around the world on a team that have monitoring the chats. You can have a virtual assistant in a different country, you know, during the times that you're sleeping, monitor your live chat and answer customer service and give advice and, you know, use different scripts. And it's a great tool. It's about $30 a month US. And I tell you what, it's worth its weight in gold for sales and customer service.
That's terrific. And now I want to ask you, is there any service provider, like a mentor, consultant, advisor, or advertiser that had a major impact of your customer success and can help others as well?
Yeah, boy, I don't know where to start. Well, I'll give you a couple. So the best book I've ever read, I'm a son of two English teachers, I love reading. The best book I've ever read still is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. He wrote the book in the 1920s here in the United States, and it's the best book I've ever read about how to really, you know, market and relate to people, just relationships and marketing and sales and how to do it in a genuine, authentic way. And it's just, it's a timeless, priceless book that everybody should read. Okay.
It fits today as well.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 100 years old. And here's why, Hayut. People don't change. People don't change. And it's a book about people. It's about, you know, the lessons in the book are so timeless. Of here's one of the quotes I use all the time on LinkedIn when I'm talking about, you know, having a what I call a client-facing LinkedIn profile instead of having a LinkedIn profile that reads like a resume about yourself. Dale Carnegie said, your customers, your clients, they don't care about you. They care about themselves morning, noon, and after dinner. So make sure that whatever you put out focuses on them and their problems and their desires. You know, that's the kind of quality of that book. And then as far as a person, I've had a business coach since I started in 2012. His name is John Michael Morgan. He's got an individual coaching and group coaching called the Achievers Alliance, johnmichaelmorgan.com. He's been really, really tremendously influential and helpful. And I think anybody who has their own business, who kind of works on their own, it's so helpful to have a mentor, an advisor, and especially in a relationship where I'm paying him every month to help me. Like, I'm paying him for advice, I'm paying him for feedback, I'm paying him for motivation and mindset and tools and tips. And, you know, I just need that. I need someone to make sure I'm on course, to hold me accountable, to encourage me when I'm down, to pick me up. And that's just been an invaluable resource and tool of someone that I really trust with every part of my business, and someone who knows me intimately in a one-on-one way, who can say, you know what, I know you. This isn't the direction you want to go. You know, people are telling you to do that, John. Here's what is going to make you happier. Do this. And that's the kind of stuff that has shifted my business. I'll tell you one example. I came out of a mastermind group, a big meeting, and you know, I dazzled everyone with a presentation on LinkedIn, and they said, you need to be going all over the United States, giving speeches and doing workshops and charging this much money. And I came back all excited, and I told that to my business coach, and he goes, but you want to be with your kids. Do you really want to be flying all over the country every week? And I was like, yeah, you're right. He's like, dude, that's not you. He's like, bottle that up into an online course, and then you can still teach and impact people, but you can have time at home with your kids. And I'm like, yeah, you know me, right? I would have been miserable, you know? So yeah, it's so important.
The last question before we say goodbye, there are a lot of things that actually affect success and a lot of factors, but I want to ask you, what is the most important factor that affected your success? What is your key success factor, the one that really made it for you?
I think the number one thing is not trying to get my personal needs met through work. Not trying to get validation from customers, prospects, critics, just viewing it as business. That was a huge, huge hurdle for me to overcome, just with having depression and wanting to be a people pleaser and overcoming the stuff I've overcome. I struggled so much early on taking criticism personally and taking failure personally. And the biggest factor of my success is now just viewing that as, oh, okay, that's just business. And I learned from that critic, and that person actually made a valid point, and I'm going to change that part of the webinar, and, you know, that offer didn't work, and I'm going to, you know, like, just understanding that for me personally, I need to get my validation from other places, right? And for getting into my personal life and personal beliefs, I'm a big fan of this guy, Jesus. That's my guy. You know, I'm a Christian. I love him. I draw my validation and my self-worth and my sense of value from him every single day and from the people that love me and know me. And if I start there, then I can go into the business world and I don't take those arrows personally. I don't take the critics personally. I don't take failure personally. Because when I get into a place where I do, then I shut down and I stop trying and I give up. And that's when I fail, right? Because the only people that aren't successful are the people that quit, right? Nobody is an overnight success. Mm-hmm. Nobody instantly hits it the first time out, right? I've done, Hayut, the webinar you went through, LinkedIn Riches, I've probably done 60 to 70 different versions of that one-hour webinar. That's a lot.
You know? Like, a lot.
The first webinar was horrible, you know? but I would not give up. I just keep adjusting. And I just re-recorded it a week ago, like 71st version. Wow. And it's because I learn and I don't take it personally when people write back and say a criticism, or when I share something that gets rejected. And I think that's the big thing is for me, and a lesson maybe for anyone listening, is don't try to get your validation and your personal needs met through work. It's just a recipe for disaster. Get it met through God or through your family or through, you know, Tony Robbins or whoever you use for your mindset to motivation. Then you're more bulletproof. You can go out and actually help other people. You can go out and not take it personally if somebody criticizes. And you can go out and stumble and fumble and make a mistake and learn from it. And I think when you do that, not only are you happier, but your clients, your customers benefit as well.
I love it. I love it. And John, I would like to tell you that this was such an enjoyable chat.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed every minute. I knew I'm going to, but I did. And I'm sure our listeners will as well. And I just want to thank you so much. Everything that we talked about, I will try to put everything and every link in the show notes. And that's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really honored that you did. It was really fun.
Thanks and bye-bye.
See you later.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.